All right, before we begin the lesson, let's take time to confess our sins so that we will be in fellowship and we can understand the things that are being taught. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for the privilege of studying your word. We know that these things are given to us that we will be equipped to do your will, and so that we will be energized and nourished so that we can accomplish the things that you have lined out for us in your plan. We pray that we would grasp and understand the things that are taught so that we can apply them to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, today's lesson is lesson 29, To Whom Do We Pray? We pray only to God, of course. In 1 Kings 18, 26 through 29, we see the futility of praying to anything or anyone other than God. Prophets of Baal screamed prayers to their God from morning until noon. They danced around an altar and continued screaming, until Elijah had heard enough. He cried out to them, "Shout louder!" Then he taunted them further with, "Surely he," meaning Baal, "is a god. Perhaps he is in deep thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." The prophets of Baal shrieked louder and louder and cut themselves with swords and spears until they bled. Here's what they received from Baal. There was no response, no one answered, no one paid attention. How empty it must feel to pray to a non-God. How desperate and hopeless. How excellent it is that we can pray to a living, caring God who is a whisper away. When we pray to God, we usually address the Father. But we may also address the Son and the Holy Spirit. We see all three in the following. We have three examples of prayer. Each of these is addressed to a member of the Trinity. Addressing God the Father. In Matthew 6, 9 through 13, in the prayer Jesus was teaching his disciples, Jesus began, "Our Father in heaven." He was addressing the Father. In John 16:23, Jesus said, "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." He was directing their future prayers to the Father, who would be hearing and responding to them after Jesus was no longer physically on earth. Many instances of praying to God the Father exist in Scripture. That is the most common. Addressing God the Son. When Jesus said, "You will no longer ask me anything," he was letting the disciples know that the face-to-face request they had become accustomed to giving would no longer be accessible. They would have to direct their request toward heaven, to the Heavenly Father. But later, with Jesus at the Father's right hand, there were some prayers aimed directly at Jesus, as we see in Acts 7:29, where Stephen spoke specifically to Jesus, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then in 1 Corinthians 16:22, Paul prayed that Jesus would return soon, saying, "Come, O Lord." So we are able to address Jesus directly in prayer. And then addressing God the Holy Spirit. John 14:16 through 17 anticipates the Holy Spirit being given to us and living within us as believers. While he is there within us, as we see in John 14:26, he will be our teacher and counselor. It would seem to follow that we can directly address the teacher and counselor that has been given to us. The Holy Spirit also gives us gifts for service. We see that in 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, and communicates to our spirit the assurance that we are God's children. That's in Romans 8:16. Surely we can talk to this gift giver and giver of confidence within us. After all three members of the Godhead or Trinity are God. He is one, and we cannot pray to one without praying to all. As one and as all, God loves us and attends to us. When we speak to Him, we have a devoted audience. All right, we have some questions. It seems that most prayers should be addressed to God the blank. Why are our prayers effective, that's our prayers, as opposed to those offered to idols? Do you think that God the Father, this is the third question, do you think that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit can operate independently of one another? That's a thought question. Other scriptures at the end of this lesson, John 14:16-17, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. And Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So remember, we pray to the living God. Prayers are usually addressed to God the Father, but may be directed to Jesus or the Holy Spirit. The important thing to remember is that the God we pray to is alive. All right, we have a postscript that I want to add, because this is going to be something that you're going to become aware of this as we go through these lessons. And I want to clear something up before we go any further. We're going to add something here that will help us explain our emphasis on the Holy Spirit as we describe the techniques that God gives us and His divine provision. All right. Christ was born and lived here on earth. He completed His mission and He ascended to heaven in His resurrection body. He then sent His Spirit in a new way. Although the Spirit was never not here, and the new way was the indwelling and empowerment of all believers. The term Jesus, with variations on the name, is used interchangeably with the Holy Spirit, but with a different function. In His humanity, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is here within us. Does this mean that Jesus Christ and God are not within us? No. It just means that the presence of God in all His aspects is within us in the form of His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is said repeatedly in Scripture to be the Spirit of Christ. To quibble over distinctions in a name are unnecessary. The humanity of Jesus is in a place at the right hand of the Father. But the divinity of Jesus Christ has the ubiquity, that's the everywhereness of God, as expressed in the Spirit. We use the term Spirit frequently as the active force behind all divine production, but sometimes we use the term Jesus Christ to discuss His residence inside of us and His power at work within us. But the Jesus Christ that is within us is His Spirit, not a physical body. His divinity, and that's the divinity of Christ, and not His humanity, is what is in question. The Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. So, don't get tense or nervous when you hear the term Holy Spirit used again and again. There is no jealousy or competition among the members of the Trinity. They are one in essence and purpose. And in essence, they all three reside within us. We are not neglecting any one of them when we refer to another one. Unfortunately, when most Christians hear the name Jesus Christ, they are thinking of his humanity and not his spirit, which is what we have now. We deal with the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ. Father, help us to understand you. Help us to see how you work in our lives. And help us to understand that the empowerment that we have for living the Christian life and producing your divine good comes only from you. And that we have that within us in the form of your Spirit. We thank you for that. We look forward to learning more about how we can access your power and your provision. And we commit these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.